Poor Michael, putting a mic on me with no shirt and tie or something to attach it to. A little explanation about your handouts. I know they made you smile, so that's good, because I'm not the most creative, artistic person, but I found my little rocks with faith and hope and thought I could incorporate them into our little handouts. So the handouts are for your own personal use. They're a little bit of a guide to what we'll be talking about today. You can use them however you like, jotting down personal thoughts, scriptures, scripture references. We are going to be having time later this morning for discussion, question and answer. And so I have put a little few questions at the bottom of each one of our sessions, which we will use in our Q&A time. And I was at a retreat a while ago, and the ladies, to relax and de-stress, all got into coloring. And who has grandchildren here? And do you really enjoy sitting down with the grandkids and coloring? It's just something so relaxing about it. So anyway, Carolyn can go downstairs and get the kids pencil crayons if you like, and you can color if you want a little relaxation sometime this morning. So that's the explanation for those. And I think maybe we will open in prayer, okay? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have brought us all here together today. We thank you for the beauty of this season and the abundance that we enjoy here in Canada as we have just celebrated Thanksgiving. And Lord, you have blessed us with so many gifts, but ultimately the very best gift that you have ever given to us is our Savior, the Lord Jesus, who we are going to consider this morning in our first session. Lord, I pray that you would bless my words, that they would be helpful to the ladies that have gathered here this morning, but ultimately, Lord, I know without a doubt that your word, which we will be looking at today, is powerful because they're your words. And so, Lord, I have confidence that you will use your word this morning in the hearts and lives of the ladies that are gathered here. We commit our time to you, and we pray that everything that is said and done would bring great praise and glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm thrilled to be sharing this morning with you. The last time I was with you, it actually was October 2018. And for those of you who were here, I talked about contentment, the contentment conundrum, and how as women, this is one of our biggest challenges, is to be content with who we are, how God has made us, the people in our lives, the circumstances in our lives, and what does it mean to be a contented woman? Because as Christians, if we can exhibit this, it is a wonderful testimony. Then, a few years later, COVID hit, and I think our contentment was severely tried and tested, and even now, we have ripple effects of COVID. I'm going to be using my glasses. I only need them for reading, so my print will be clear, but you are all blurry. But you do all look beautiful this morning, I'll tell you that. Okay. So here we are in the final quarter of 2022, post-COVID, and the Queen of England has died. I feel sad about that. I'm a little bit of a fan. I was a fan of Queen Elizabeth. But it is a historical time in all of our lives. And we've all maybe become aware of all the stories surrounding the royal family, and, you know, they're in the news and they're celebrities. But I got to say that each one of you has a unique story to tell as well. I love reading biographies, and I know I would love to read your biography. Your life story is worth telling because God gave you life and has and is intervening in your life from the time you were born until your eventual death. Each moment, every relationship, all the experiences that you have had have significance in the sum total of your life. So today, this day that we are spending together is appointed by God. And my prayer is that what we talk about will be a blessing and impact your spiritual life in a positive way. Your chosen topic, Women of Faith, Sharing Hope. Now, Carolyn and I have been communicating quite a bit, and it changed a little bit, like every time we talked, and then it was faith in action, sharing hope, and then it was another way of putting it, but when I made the title page, it came out, Women of Faith, Sharing Hope, so that's what we're talking about today. So when we talk about women of faith, sharing hope, it requires some thought and meditation. What do we mean when we say that we are women of faith and not just the women who attend Faith Baptist Church in Oakville, obviously? In our first session, we're going to look carefully at what it means when we describe ourselves as women of faith and the hope that that gives us. And then in our second session, we're going to explore ways that we can share hope. Faith is a word that's tossed around a lot today. People like to spell it out in artistic ways, in pictures, wooden letters, or painted rocks, as you can see. If you are into real estate at all, and I have been recently helping my kids find houses, and you're on the real estate, is there any real estate agents here? Real estate listings, and what do you see? All the beautiful staging. I mean, you know people don't live like that with flowers in the bathroom and, you know, beautiful vases everywhere, like nobody really lives here. But you often see faith, love. Is there hope here too? Hope. You see that in, you know, decorative artistic displays. And it's a great message. It's very positive. Have faith. When things aren't going well, that's what people say. Have faith. I have faith. They aren't necessarily referring to the Christian faith. They could be referring to the Buddhist Hindu idea of faith, you know, karma. Whatever thoughts or energy you put out, you get back, good or bad. There's good karma, bad karma. Did you hear about the new karma restaurant? They have no menus because you get what you deserve. Well, apparently, I know I'm a terrible joke teller, but I have a quirky sense of humor, but I thought that was cute. So there's a lot of talk about faith, and not necessarily, we're not all meaning the same thing. In fact, in the U.S. in 2022, a survey was done that said evangelical Christians, 56% of evangelical Christians believe that there are multiple ways to Christ. So they would accept, yeah, shocking, they would accept that, yeah, you might get to God through Allah or somewhere else. They're not going to discriminate. They're not so concerned. If you say you have faith, they'll accept that you must have faith. We do practice faith every day in our lives. We've probably all known somebody, or maybe you yourself have experienced this, when you're in a position of helplessness, like a cancer diagnosis or a heart attack. We have faith that the doctors and experts are going to treat us and help us to get well again. When there's a catastrophe, like a destructive tornado or a hurricane like we've just experienced on the East Coast, we have faith that the first responders are going to get there and help the injured and get the big trees off the hydro wires. We have faith in friends and family and spouses that are going to stick by us in difficult times. We have faith that teachers are going to teach us what we need to know to graduate. We even have faith in the government to keep law and order, and science to help us figure out how to grow better food and take care of the pollution problem. But this is not what we mean when we say that we are women of faith. What do we mean? The definition of faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. So that's sort of what I just described. A second definition is strong belief in God or in the doctrines of a religion based on spiritual apprehension rather than proof. This is getting closer to what we mean by faith. We mean the Christian faith, true faith. I know that that's what you mean if you call yourself a woman of faith. Faith in God, the one and only true God spoken of in the Bible. The scriptures tell us what true faith is and who it must be placed in. Hebrews 11, if we're familiar with our Bibles, that is the faith chapter. It gives us the list of believers that have gone on before and shown us the way of faith. In Ephesians 2, we're told it is the gift of God. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. This is a very important starting point. If we're going to be sharing a message of hope with others in any way at all, small ways, big ways, we all touch many lives. We need to know what and who our faith is in, or we really have nothing to share, and we have no basis for the hope that we claim that we have. Now, if you've been a Christian any length of time, you wonder, why am I laboring this point? Isn't it obvious, Debbie, that here we are, ladies at a conference at a Baptist church, calling ourselves women of faith? Then why is it that when we're asked to tell somebody what we believe, we can be kind of timid, kind of tentative, kind of reluctant, kind of shy about what we really believe? It seems too often that when we are asked to share our faith, we don't have a whole lot to say. And this is concerning. And if we aren't concerned, that's even a bigger problem. When we've been a Christian for a long time, we can take our faith for granted. It's just kind of familiar to us. We've heard it all before. And we aren't really that concerned because everybody seems so convinced. You know, they say they have faith. So do I really need to explain my faith and what the difference is between them and me? Excuse me. Boy, coughs with the microphone are very loud. There we go. Thanks. While I believe that once we're saved, truly saved, we are saved forever. We don't lose our salvation. But we can go through dry seasons in our spiritual life. God can seem far away, and Christianity is in the background of our lives, but it's not obvious to others around us. And this is really a condition that is described in the Bible as backslidden. It's not very popular to talk about backslidden Christians anymore. It used to be, you know, the hellfire and brimstone preachers would preach the backslidden Christian. It's just not that popular anymore. The book of Hebrews was actually written to Christians who were contemplating returning back to their old ways, the old ways of Judaism that were comfortable to them, because they were getting very weary fighting against the hostility that they were experiencing in their culture against their Christianity and the hardships that they were experiencing because they were followers of Christ. They were in danger of backsliding. In Hebrews 2, 1-4, they were exhorted, listen to this, pay careful attention to what they had heard so that they wouldn't drift away. They are describing as still needing the milk of the word, as they were not progressing on to more substance in their understanding of the gospel, and subsequently they couldn't pass it on to anyone. The writer said they should have been able to be teachers of the truths of God's word by now, but in fact, some had stopped meeting with other Christians, which only made their situation worse. They were not in the place where they could encourage one another in the faith, spur one another to practice their spiritual gifts, and sharpen each other for the work they were called to do. They were in danger of backsliding. Now, if we take a step back and we assess our lives, where are we at? Neutral is not a position that a Christian can maintain. We are either progressing and growing in our walk with God and being sanctified, that means growing in holiness. And it may be incremental, it may be a case of 3 steps forward and 2 steps back, but in fact we are growing. If this is not happening, we are stagnant, unconcerned about spiritual things. Maybe bitterness has taken root because life hasn't turned out the way we planned. We can be distracted by hypocritical Christians that we've observed, and we may just be tired and giving up on the struggle to live for Christ. This is not neutral. This is really backsliding, and this is dangerous and an unjustifiable position for the Christian to be in. However, I know that God will eventually pull the backslider back to Him. He will rekindle your heart and draw you back into close fellowship with Him if you truly belong to Him. But sometimes it takes someone to say, where are you at? Where are you at in your spiritual life? Are you just, idling? Are you just kind of stationary? Or are you going forward? Down through the history of the church, there have been statements of faith that have been put together by theologians, creeds, catechisms to really explain what a Christian believes. There's things like the Apostles' Creed, the Westminster Confession of Faith, the 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith, which is probably kind of way back when, a basis for the founding of this church. There's the five solas of the Reformation. Churches and denominations have come up with these statements to say, this is what we believe as Christians. My husband teaches systematic theology at Toronto Baptist Seminary, which simply put is a course on how to understand what the Bible teaches about God, man, sin, salvation, Jesus, the church, end times. Other professors teach the original languages, Greek and Hebrew, that the Bible was written in. Others teach about missions. Others teach counseling. And then there's professors that teach pastors how to preach. The main thing is that the Bible is being taught from Genesis to Revelation because the Bible is our guidebook for our faith. What I'd like to do in the next few moments is review what we believe as Christians. And I'm going to use the five solas. Simply put, they say salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, according to the scriptures alone, to the glory of God alone. I realize that for most, if not all of you, what the Bible teaches about salvation is a big review for you. It's like reciting John 3:16 over and over and over again. And you say, yes, Debbie, we know, we're familiar with that. We believe that. Tell us something new. There is nothing new to tell you. What we need is for the truth of our salvation to have such a profound effect on us. Not it had a profound effect on me when I first became a Christian. It still has a profound effect on me. It has a power in my life like nothing else. It must move us closer to God whenever, ever we consider His gracious intervention into our lives. And if it doesn't, then maybe we need to think about our relationship with God. And we need to say, Lord, I'm cold. I need you to come closer to me, and I need to be closer to you. So let's do this. It's just 5 points that we're going to go over. I've jotted them down in your little handout there. And as you listen to this, you can do this several ways. You can sit and jot down notes. You can sit and close your eyes. I'm going to read a lot of scripture. And you can just let that pour over you and sink deeply into your hearts and see how this goes, okay? So we're going to start with, we are saved by grace alone. Now, what I'd like to do is just read the scriptures and not give you all the references, because I think it flows without me stopping to say all the references. So you can just sit and listen. Or you can jot down personal thoughts if you like. Afterwards, if you would like all the references, I'm happy to give them to you because it would be a wonderful thing for you to, sometime when you have a quiet afternoon and you're sitting with a cup of tea, just to read these scriptures, okay? So here we go. We are saved by grace alone. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. He saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, not by works, so that no one can boast. We didn't stand a chance with God if he hadn't shown us grace. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. We didn't even want it until he poured his grace into our lives and caused us to call out to him to save us. You didn't choose to be born into a Christian family where the gospel was taught to you. You didn't arrange to have a friend share the gospel with you, and you didn't decide without God's prompting to go to a church where you heard the message that caused your heart to turn toward God. He orchestrated all the events leading to your salvation. Praise him that his grace was shown to you. We are saved through faith alone. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that comes from God on the basis of faith. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Faith in God was not conjured up in you by your own reasoning and effort. It is the gift of God. He helped you to believe. And once you believed, your sins were forgiven and you became a new creation. You are no longer lost and doomed. You belong to Christ and have been given eternal life. Praise God that he gave you the faith to believe in his son Jesus, the only one who could save you from your sins. In Christ alone. For there is one God and one mediator between God and human beings, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Jesus is the only Savior for sinners. There is no other way for us to be saved if it wasn't for his willingness to come to earth and live a sinless life and suffer and die an undeserved death. This is mind-boggling humility, that he, the Son of God, became human and took on that immense load of our sin and paid the debt that was impossible for us to pay. What love, what a sacrifice, what an amazing Savior. According to the scriptures alone, Jesus answered, "It is written, people do not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And Paul said to Timothy, "And how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow within him. You wouldn't know anything about God's plan of saving people if it weren't for the fact that he had it all written down to explain it from the very beginning. God is not silent. and austere, but he rather communicates with us in words in a long love letter. He inspired a group of writers over many years to get the message to us. Anyone who can read or have someone read the Bible to them and have it explained can understand that God loves sinners and made a way for us to be in a relationship with him. The Bible is the best book we can ever want to read and understand. It is the most important book for the whole world to have it distributed to them, studied, and cherished. And the question is that how we feel about the Bible? To the glory of God alone. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. Salvation is God's idea from start to finish. He planned it. He sent his Son who died. Jesus rose from the dead so that salvation was secured for anyone who will believe in him. And he came to you personally, convicted you of your sin, and showed you the way to Christ, and applied his righteousness to you so that your sin is no longer a barrier between you and him. And then he gave you his Holy Spirit to be with you all the days of your life and to prepare you for the wonderful surprises that await us when we see him face to face someday. God is just and true and loving and merciful, just as the Bible says. We can be convinced because he stands behind his word and his actions towards us prove it. Our hearts can be filled with praise and thanksgiving because he is the only one that is worthy. This is the faith that we are talking about that needs to be shared. Not, I have faith, you have faith, we all have faith. This is it, right here. It's big, it's beautiful, and it needs to just overwhelm you. If you meditate on these truths for a while, do they warm your heart? Do you remember when you first understood it and submitted your life to Christ? Do you remember how thankful you were for the gift of salvation and how you wanted to share it with others? Do you still marvel at God's grace? Are you still placing your faith in him who is the most lovely, humble, and powerful Savior? Do you love the scriptures and are they your source of wisdom and encouragement to live the Christian life? Do you see God working in your life? Do you thank him every day for what he has done for you? Or has this faded? Ask God to rekindle that sense of awe and gratitude. This is a prayer that he will hear and answer. A woman of faith has great hope because she knows what she believes and who she has placed her faith in. And hope is a wonderful gift that we can give to everyone that our lives touch in one way or another. And that's what we're going to look at in our next talk about how are we going to share this hope. This hope is spoken of in Hebrews 10:19 as an anchor for our soul. And it is firm and secure. And this is what we need and what our world needs and what we have to give to our world. So at this point, we'll close in a little word of prayer and we're going to have a break and then we'll get back together to talk about how are we going to share what we considered this morning. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be filled with praise to you as we contemplate what was all involved with our salvation. And how amazing it is that if any one of us is sitting here and said, yes, I know that I belong to the Lord and that he saved me, that we would never get over it. I pray that you'd help us to have our hearts rekindled with love and praise and adoration to you this morning. And if there's anyone here that is feeling distant from you, Lord, maybe they're concerned that they could be in a backslidden state and they're not progressing. They're still way back there and just overwhelmed with life and the problems and not searching for you. And I pray that you would meet them here this morning and that you would draw them back to you in close fellowship. We know that you love your people and you will not let us stray too far. And sometimes it takes a morning like this or a song on our listening to a scripture song or hearing a verse that brings us back to you, and we thank you for all of these things that bring us back to you. We commit the rest of our morning to you, and we pray you would be with us in Jesus' name. Amen.